Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Priscilla, if you'd bring that baby right here and set it here, I'd really get their attention, I'm sure, more. Amen. Been praying for you. Been praying for many in the church. Praise the Lord. Brother Jim spoke about Job. So please open the book of Job chapter 23 and verse 10. Sherry sang about count your blessings. And the last stanza of the verse, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. I want to preach on your journey and your destination. And we'll begin by looking at what Job said. In Job chapter 23, verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. How many know God knows the journey you're on and the way that you're taking? Let's move to Psalms chapter 37. Thank God the book of Job is followed by the book of Psalms. After being confronted with such sobering, heartbreaking news, although God did restore Job twice, we come to Psalms. And Psalms chapter 37, David knew what Job knew. Psalms 37 and verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. The Lord knoweth the way that I take. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Let's try Psalms 107. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Psalms 107, verse 7. Speaking of Israel and their journey. And he led them forth by the right way. The Lord knows the way that I take. And if you're following him, he's leading you in the right way. That they might go to a city of habitation. Now my ultimate text is Luke chapter 24. This is the story we will be looking at on the journey of two on the road to Emmaus, it has been called. And in Luke chapter 24, this 7-mile walk that they were on, in verse 32 of Luke 24, they look back over the journey and they said, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? He knoweth the way that I take. While he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. I said I want to speak on your journey and your destination. This message began to build when I began to think, as in prayer, of how often the Lord, we have recorded in his wonderful word, when God shows up at the last minute, the last hour, the last moment, and brings an incredible miracle to the journey that one had been on. And we have heard messages and of where God just showed up on your journey at the last possible moment and brought about a wonderful miracle. So it is recorded again and again of a story that begins to build, and the all of TV doesn't even come close to presenting a story that it begins to build, and then pressure begins to come, and it gets rough on the journey, and the suspense builds, and you wonder what is going to happen. Is there any way out? And then we see that God shows up in the nick of time, right at the end, and so often brings deliverance and brings a wonderful climax to what had been happening. Whether it be Job, of how the pressure built and built and built and built, and then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. We could go from there to Abraham, who God said, take thy son, thy only son, and offer him as a sacrifice. And you see that story, if you allow your heart to enter into it and begin to feel what Abraham felt and feel what Isaac felt, and as they get up early in the morning and as they take off to that place where God told Abraham to go, and the story builds, and you see Isaac, and you see Abraham, and you see them walking on this journey, and you see them heading up the hill, and the son saying, where is the sacrifice? And it builds, and the suspense builds, and no doubt, in both the hearts of Abraham and Isaac, and laying him on the altar, and lifting the knife, and all the suspense builds, and then God shows up in the nick of time. And there is a ram caught in the thicket. And we say, oh, thank the Lord. I wish you'd have showed up a little earlier, but he does show up. From there, you can take the story of Elijah. Elijah is one of those characters that comes out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, he shows up on the scene, this prophet, and says to the king, there will be no rain until God tells me, until I tell you. And then God tells Elijah to go to a certain brook, Cherith, and there he waits, and the suspense builds. Day after day, there's no rain. Day after day, they watch the crops die. Day after day, it gets harder and harder, and the brook begins to go lower and lower, and the suspense builds. And you can see the whole nation sensing something going on. But then at the very end, God tells Elijah, when the brook ran dry, and it seemed like, what are we going to do now? How are we going to make ends meet now? The very thing that God sent me to, that I did not question, that I knew was God, how can God send me to a place and now it dry up? But there he sends him to another widow and eating her last meal, another thing where the suspense had built, and we see God showing up on the scene and producing a miracle. And all of us, perhaps when we look back over our life and chapters of it where we were on a journey and then a need began to build, and then God showed up, and wow, we thought, oh, thank you, Lord. The Bible is full of stories that it seems that God waits till the very end, but he is faithful and he brings deliverance. Whether it be Daniel in the lion's den, and you see again the story building, and he's told not to pray, but he prays anyway and opens his window and turns towards the east, and there he has great intercession with God, and his soul is poured out before God, and now the story builds. He's put and told he's going to be thrown into the lion's den, and you can see the momentum build, and Daniel being marched into the lion's den, and then he's put in the lion's den, and oh, we're good at preaching how God shut the mouth of the lion. But it wasn't until the very end. We find the three children. well, what's their name? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One preacher said, "You Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go." And he said, no, that's not what it is. It's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But again, the story builds. And, how many of you, it wouldn't be a problem if it just happened. But the problems that we face, they start, and then we see them beginning to build. And then it begins to build. And sometimes in that pressure that we're in, sometimes we don't know if we're fighting God or we don't know if we're fighting the devil. We don't know if we should rebuke the devil and think, well, I may be rebuking God. And sometimes we may be rebuking God rebuking the devil when it is God and vice versa. You say, how do you know? How do you know? Well, let me just say this. It really doesn't make any difference. You say, how can you say that, Pastor? I can say that because whether it be God or whether it be the devil. You say, well, wouldn't a Christian know? Not necessarily. Bible said the devil comes in as an angel of light and deceiving even if possible the elect. And so sometimes even myself under pressure, I don't know if I'm fighting God or fighting the devil, but I've come to the conclusion it really doesn't matter because all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. You see, God used the devil when it came to Job, and God used the devil when it came to Paul. So whether it be the devil, and whether it be, you say, well, wouldn't you be spiritual enough to discern? Listen, Eve got discerned, who represents the church. We can also at times not know, but don't be ashamed of the fact that you don't know. If God wants you to know, he's quite capable of letting you know. What's important is that you know him and that you know that all things work together for good. Brother Jim, I can identify with you. You couldn't run 10 miles and 50 yards. I can't even preach 5 minutes without getting excited, without getting short-winded. Okay. Brother Armstrong used to say, why is it that people think unless the preacher preaches fast, he's not anointed? You can preach slow and be anointed. So I'm going to preach slow for a little bit. The Red Sea. It's again a story of things building and building, and the pressure, and they leave at midnight, and the firstborn is killed, and they take off with great substance, and they flee. And you see the story build, and now they're going just where God led them to go. And where did he lead them to go? Up against the Red Sea. On each side are two mountains, and behind here comes the greatest army on the face of the earth, Pharaoh, and he's changed his mind and is going to destroy them. And there's nowhere to go. How many know he makes a way where there is no way? And at the very last moment, God opened up the Red Sea and they went through. And I've thought often, Lord, what do you do and wait until the last moment? And God has things and reasons that we do not know. But let us take this story of the two on the road to Emmaus. For I want us to look at their destination, but I want us also to look at the journey and see that there are miracles in the journey as well as there are miracles at the destination. I remember as a child visiting my relatives in different places. And one time we went to visit my uncle and aunt that lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I remember we got up early in our 1962 Ford Galaxy, and it was quite a journey. And we traveled kind of different back in those days than many people travel today. And now my parents, they were excited about meeting my dad's brother. Out of all of the brothers that my dad had, and there were about five of them, they have all died except one, that's Uncle Orville. But Uncle Orville was living in New Mexico, and Aunt Arenta, and they were excited about meeting them. And I'm not saying I wasn't excited about meeting them, but I can say I got excited about places on the journey just as much as I did when I arrived at the place where they were. I remember on the journey we saw Carlsbad Cavern. Anybody ever been to Carlsbad Cavern? When they get you down in there 3,000 miles in the center of the earth, and then they tell everybody to shut the light off and watches put them in, and it's totally, oh man, that was so exciting for me. I remember making my own little bed in the back seat of that car. I was short enough that I could fit there, my legs fit there, and I remember different things in the journey that excited me and thrilled me. Not to say I wasn't excited when I finally got to the destination and met my aunt and uncle and we enjoyed each other's fellowship. But in this day in which we live, and it seems that the culture, it's much quicker. We, not everybody, but people do travel different than we used to travel years ago. And because of the travel styles changing with some, and it being much faster to get to our destination, I think we gained something, but we lost something along the way. Because when we traveled before, there was a closeness that developed. Or it could have been good fighting that developed. But there was a closeness that developed in the journey. And I remember thinking, my wife and I, we were so excited about my daughter and my grandson Julian and Raul coming. And we were so excited about him coming. And we talked, what will we do when they get here to entertain Julian? Because he is full of 99.99% adrenaline and he's got to do something, got to do. And we're thinking, what are we going to do? And I thought, well, you know, we can go to that great theme park, Great America. And I thought about taking him to a public pool where and so with all of this, but when he got here, all we did was play hide and go seek and find this and find that. And I mean, we probably got closer doing the simple had we gone to the real elaborate, because what was happening was a relationship was developing and getting stronger and stronger with Julian and myself. And it didn't take the great big stuff. How many remember that some things we gain, but some things we lose? But oh, there's something that you can develop in the journey. There's advantages to not having enough. It makes you, in a way, connected together in a better way. You seem to appreciate things that are free. And back in those days when I was a kid, when you traveled, you didn't have a CD. You didn't have those things. You didn't have. We had one of the first air conditioners added onto the car. And I remember when that thing, after it had been on for several hours going across the desert, it would freeze up. And you'd see frost, and it just like your freezer needs to be defrosted. And oh, I look forward to the moment when they would turn off the conditioner and just blow out hot air, and that snow would just pour out, and we'd stick our face in front of it. Oh, and we'd want to get the spot. You don't enjoy those kind of things today, but there was something we gained and something we lost. And just talking about getting cold, I saw Terry get cold and wrap up. We have a God that is a God of the journey as much as he's a God of the destination. He's not only a God that brings a great miracle at the end, but he's much a God of the journey as he is a God of the destination. And often in life, as the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And in our journey, and we all have a purpose and a plan, and God has a will for each of you, and he has a place for you to go. And often in that journey, we are led into trials. And we are led into difficult times. And oh, we pray, oh God, deliver me. And Lord, help me and bring deliverance. You see, Jesus said, follow me. And yet he led them into the wilderness. Isn't it amazing? He said, follow me, and yet he leads us into the wilderness. Some of these preachers I hear that always talk about mountaintop experiences, I want to know what turnip truck they dropped off out of and fall off of, because it's not always mountaintop. If you're following Jesus, he's going to lead you into the wilderness. He's going to lead you into difficult places. You're going to be led into trials and tough times, and that's not a put down on the mountaintop. But oh, there's something about following Jesus that leads you into the wilderness. And there we find that he even did a miracle when they had no food, and if they would have fainted. And a wonderful miracle took place at the end of that journey. And we often in our journey, when we hit tough times, and we all do, we say, oh Lord, deliver me. Give me a miracle. End this thing. But I want you to know there are things we can learn about God in the journey that you can't learn from the destination. And there's things you can learn about God in the journey that you can't learn on the mountaintop and in the victory. And that's no put down on the victory. That's no put down on the great miracle, on the destination. We want our trials to be over and the deliverance. We want the final product, and we want to get to our destination. And Lord, what you've destined for me, has it ever dawned on you he destined for you not only the victory, but he destined for you the journey? But God has a way of taking the long way around. Sometimes God in the journey takes the scenic route. And sometimes God takes this route and that route. But by going in the journey, there's things that God develops in you that he cannot and does not develop by the destination and the miracle that takes place there. For instance, when he takes you along the way and he knows the way that you take, things that are developed in your heart and life are like you begin to learn patience and you begin to learn calmness and you learn to endure hardness as a good soldier and you learn brotherly kindness. And God allows you to see that when you finally arrive at the destination where the miracle happens and the deliverance happens, and it always happens, he's a God that delivers, and then we rejoice. But in fact, all of us, I trust, are going to get to heaven. And you know what we're going to do when we get to heaven? I think when we get to heaven, we're going to talk about things that we experienced along the way, that journey that we took along the way. And sometimes it's not the destination or that big miracle that happened at the last moment, and God always does. Sometimes the other things we learn about God are things that we saw along the way. And sometimes it's not so much the destination that causes our eyes to be opened up as on this journey, but it is only in the journey where the hearts burn. But it is the destination that the eyes are opened. The eyes that are open cannot substitute the heart that burns along the way before your eyes are opened. But it is the journey that we take where closeness is developed, and a conversation took place between Jesus, who they did not know was Jesus, and the two on their way to Emmaus. You can take the story of Israel, and they're told about the promised land that they had never seen. And Moses said, under the direction of God by the Holy Spirit, follow me, and God's going to lead us to a land of milk and honey. In fact, grapes are real big, and there'll be honey. In fact, you're going to have houses that are your own. You won't have to make bricks anymore without straw. And little did Moses know that he wouldn't make it to the promised land, but he would learn about God nonetheless as he traveled along the way. And there is sometimes more to learn about God in the journey as there is in the destination and the miracle that occurs at the destination. The miracle that you are heading for and the deliverance that God is going to bring you to, for that thing God has promised you, that wonderful deliverance that will bring you to your destination that He has for you. But the journey to get there is a God that has purpose for your life, and He is a God of process. He's a God that will reveal Himself in the journey as much as He'll reveal Himself in the destination when their eyes were opened. And as you walk along the way, God has a way of revealing Himself to you in the journey. Our text says the disciples of Emmaus, they were talking to each other, and they were talking about what they had heard from the gossip and the news of the day. It says that a stranger drew near them and began to talk to them about what they were talking about, and that was the latest events that happened to Jesus. And as they traveled towards their destination, a 7-mile journey, may we be reminded, they needed a miracle. They were in need. They needed cheering up. Anybody here ever need cheering up? They were sad. They needed a miracle. They were without hope. And how often in our journey as we travel, we find ourselves needing cheering up. And we know from the story that a miracle was awaiting them at their destination. But there are some things you can learn about God along the way that will bring strength to you that the destination does not. There are, I'm sure you've seen, and I not speak of you, but we've seen them and I've seen them, people that are only destination miracle seekers. They will travel to this place where there's a miracle and this place where there's happening where there's a miracle. And their whole Christian life, and I don't knock the desire to seek the supernatural, but you are substituting the journey when you ought to be in a church faithful and being faithful to where you're at. But rather they're people that chase where this is happening and that is happening. And they want to see the miracles. They want to see the destination. They want to see God bringing deliverance to someone that they've been praying about. And all those things are good. But you have forfeited your journey to always seeking the miracle, the destination. And Jesus, we know, is drawing near to them and begins to talk to them. And He begins to tell them and to reveal them, "Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said concerning Him." And then Jesus, beginning at Moses and the prophets, began to unfold and explain to them that everything in the Old Testament that spoke of Jesus, He fulfilled. And He did that. And the Bible says, on the journey, their hearts began to burn. Listen, you don't get the burning of the heart at the destination. You get the burning of the heart and the maturing and the growing in the journey. And when they came near the house, the Bible says that Jesus acted as though He would go further. But they beckoned Him to come in, and I love this. He came in and wanted to have communion. And whether He said that or not, but what Jesus did that was going to be the doorway to open their eyes was absolutely amazing. He took the bread, He gave thanks, and then He broke it, and then He gave it. But wait a minute. That's what He did when He was in the wilderness, or with feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. He did the exact same thing. He took the bread, He gave thanks, and then He broke it, and then He gave it. And that's what He did just before He went to the cross when He was with His disciples and He was going to sup with them. It says He took the bread, and then He gave thanks, and then He broke it, and then He gave it. And folks, that's what he does with us. He takes us. He gives thanks. I thank thee that I have lost none that thou hast given me. He takes us. He gives thanks. And then he breaks us. And then he sends us. That's how God uses you. He takes you. He thanks God for you. But then he breaks you. And then he sends you. A preacher that hasn't been broken is a preacher that won't have much to say. It is through the brokenness. It is through the broken alabaster box that the fragrance comes forth. And when God breaks you and you say, God, I'm being broken. Listen, he knows what he's doing. He is equipping you that he may take you, bless and thank you, then break you, and then send you. And it is when he did those things, he took the bread and he thanked God for it. And then he broke it. And then he gave it. Their eyes were open. And a miracle. The destination. What a wonderful revelation. How many remember, speaking of communion, 2 weeks ago? No. When was Brother Skip was here 2 weeks ago? How many remember Sunday morning, I said, I believe that God has spoken to me and that God wants to bring healing and do a miracle for somebody Sunday night. I didn't say Sunday morning. I said Sunday. How many remember that? Raise your hand. Somebody asked me, said, well, why would you have communion Sunday night? I wanted to say, when are you ever going to learn that God does talk to me? But I was nice. I said, because that's just what I feel the Lord wants. And we had communion Sunday night. And I remember what I had said. And I don't say those things lightly. I'm not saying them for hype. When I say God said, I mean God said. So we had service. I got a call from Brother Skip Thursday night. And Brother Skip was excited as he's always excited. Oh, Brother Connor, how are you? Boy, God's got on the throne. I mean, Brother Skip, he's just one wonderful man of God. He said, I want to tell you. He said, I got a call. How many remember the man that came in and sat on Sunday night right somewhere in here that had the mask on? You may know him. I don't know him. But he came to the service. And Skip prayed with him, whether he prayed for him directly or whether he prayed a mass prayer, I do not know that. I do think I remember him praying for him. But Brother Skip said, Brother Connor, I just got a call from him, and he got healed. He was so excited. They wanted to verify it, so they went to the doctor. And the doctor put him on the machine and said, your lungs are breathing better than they have ever breathed before. And other tests they did that he had problems with, he is also, so Brother Skip said, please tell the people that there was a miracle that took place. And I said, glory to God. May God get all of the glory. And we rejoice in the fact that a miracle took place. And but I say this, that, oh, there's something about the journey that we need to take another look at along with the destination and the miracle. Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall receive their strength. They shall mount up on the wings of eagles. They'll run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. You see, the journey that you're on, it's going to do things for you that the destination, which is wonderful it is, doesn't do. And when you look back over your shoulder, you can say the same thing, that God brought me through. He delivered me, and he'll bring me through again. And when you get to where you're going, it isn't so much the destination that will captivate your conversation. It's what you learned about him along the way in the journey. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us along the way? Two old folks are sitting in a rest home. sitting in a rocking chair with their teeth in a glass. And they're both looking at each other and smiling and giggling. And they're talking. And you know what they're talking about? These two old wonderful saints of God, they're talking about what they learned along the way as they look back over their life, how faithful God had been. We sing, "I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now." Oh, I wouldn't take anything for my journey now. Julian said, "Grandpa, tell me a story." So I don't know how to tell a story without bringing God into it. I told him about the time I saw myself in the mirror and I walked up and I didn't know if Julian was comprehended or not, but I said, "Julian," I didn't know who he was, and he said, "It was you, Grandpa, it was you." I said, "Yeah, it was me, Julian." And then I'd tell him another story. He said, "Tell me another story." I said, "Well, I got another story about God. It's about the time I saw the TV screen move up and I saw a boy riding a bicycle and a car hit him." Julian reached out and said, "A car hit him?" He said, "What did you do?" I said, "Julian, I didn't do nothing. God was just showing me something that would happen when I go to a church that night." And anyway, I'm telling Julian all these stories, and I mean, he couldn't get enough about hearing about God and hearing about the journey. And when he got back to see his grandparents there, "I'm just as important as that other grandparent. I got to do a lot of catching up to do." And Julian said to his grandparents, "You ought to see what Grandpa said. In fact, I taught him a game, and he's trying to teach." God help him. I'm talking about the journey. Don't mistake experience with age. Some people think if you live long, you're going to have wisdom. Not necessarily. But if you have experiences from God, you can learn from them, and it'll change your life. And some of the things that he teaches you are not going to be learned in a school book. They won't be learned in a Sunday school lesson, as wonderful and wonderful class Brother Jim taught. They won't be learned in a sermon. It'll be learned on your journey along the way. And I say I'm not emotional. That'd be a lie. I'm emotional. Depends what mood I'm in. Depends what mood you're in. But when I get excited about the Lord, it's because I often think of the journey along the way, and times that he's just had a way of coming to me during the journey and saying, "I'm with you, I'm here," and my heart burns. And I say, "I know you're with me, Lord. I know you never leave me nor forsake me. And I know you're going to bring deliverance. And I know you're going to work this out." And he has a way of, if he could create Samson, and if Samson was created after his own image, and Samson loved to create a riddle, I'm convinced in my heart and mind, and nobody will ever convince me different, God has ways of dropping little things along the way in the journey that they seem to be puzzling, but they are nonetheless things that make you know that he is watching and he is with you and he understands. And they're unusual things, but they're there, and your heart burns. It didn't say they had great understanding, although he was expounding them to Scripture. The heart burned. Some people think I'm crazy. I say, "You help yourself," but I know when I hear from God. I was unusual things. Do you understand what they mean? No, but my heart burns. I was at the park with Julian, for instance, and I let him go down a slide, and there was another little boy just his size, when a voice behind me said, "Julian, wait your turn." I thought, now why would you talk to my grandson that way? When the little boy waited and Julian went, and I said, "What's your boy's name?" She said, "Julian." I thought, what are the odds of that? Yesterday I'm leaving the office. I'm heading back to the house, and I see a couple walking down with a golden retriever, a young one. Looked like about 5 months old. Wasn't potty trained yet, because I could tell what happened. And I walked up and I said, "Oh," I said, what kind of dog is this?" I knew, but I just wanted to. I said, "It's a golden retriever." I said, "I had a golden retriever." They said, "You did?" I said, "Yes." And just then the dog got excited and he went all everywhere. They said, "Please, that's our dog." I said, don't bother me. I said, "I had a golden retriever." I said, "What's this one's name?" They said, "Penny." I said, "Mine was named Bogart." they looked at each other and they said, well, that's weird. We just left a couple who had another golden retriever, and that dog was named Bogart. I said, you know, God has ways of getting our attention. You say, you're crazy, Pastor. No, I'm not crazy. I'm one of them foolish preachers that believe God talks to me. I know that along the way, He can do things that makes your heart burn, and He can do things that sometimes the understanding's there, sometimes the understanding's not there, sometimes you don't know if it's God or the devil, but it doesn't matter because all things work together for good to them that love God. I guess I must be anointed because I'm talking fast. The Bible said that these two, when they were sad, He said, why are you sad? And they said, well, it's been reported. In spite of the fact that they had heard that He had risen from the dead, from a woman. And they said, besides that, it was verified. And they didn't understand. And often we don't understand. And often in our journey, we do the best we can, but we're puzzled. But don't quit the journey. Because the journey leads to the destination. And the destination is where God opened their eyes. Would you stand with me? Learn to listen to God in the journey. I have no doubt He's going to bring deliverance to you. He always does. I have no doubt He'll bring deliverance to you and what it is that you're going through. But I just want to stop and take a look at the journey along the way. If you're only happy at the destination, you're missing a lot of joy and happiness in the journey. How many know He wants you happy in the journey? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your wonderful faithfulness to us. You're always there. You never leave us nor forsake us. You're with us always. You love us. You want us to love one another. And oh God, as I travel through the land, seeking as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, oh God, may we recognize that You took the bread. You gave thanks for it. Then You broke it. And then You sent it. And Lord, if somebody be broken today, and if somebody be in their journey today, and they're waiting for deliverance, oh God, may we look to You and let our hearts receive from You a burning and a strengthening and an uplifting. Could I ask you all to come and let's stand in front, please? Bless the Lord. I've often been amazed of how God will put something together. It never ceases to amaze me. I've seen it this morning in the Sunday school class, in the worship. Is it always that way? It generally is. We just don't see it. Because our eyes are so much on the destination, sometimes we just don't pay attention to the journey. But oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your goodness. And David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But You also, Lord, You lead us into green pastures, and You lead us beside the still waters, and You restoreth our soul. God, You lead us to the mountaintop, and You lead us to the wilderness, and You lead us to the place where our eyes are open, and You lead us, Lord, You lead us, and You know the way that I take. But, oh God, may our faith reach out and take hold of a God that said He knows the thoughts that He has towards us. And may we grasp in our heart that He is with me and He will never leave me nor forsake thee. And that, God, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Bless Your people this morning. Uplift them, Lord, and may their hearts burn as they look to you, from whom all blessings flow. Bless your people. Strengthen them. Give them manna from above. For we overcome by faith and by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Reach over and pray for the person next to you. Would you do that just now? Just pray for them. Ask God to bless them and to minister to them and to open their eyes and to help them in their journey and to help them along the way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oh, God, we seek your face. We be open to you speaking to us. We be open to the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us. And the steps of a man are ordered of the Lord. Oh God, as the rivers turn this way or that way, it is God, and the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And Lord Jesus, you know the way that I take. And you know, Lord, it is not in man to direct his steps. Though we seek for your will and though we seek for your face and love you with all of our heart, mind, and soul and strength, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk according to thy word, and we walk according to the Holy Spirit and the dictates of our heart. For you worketh in us both to will and to do according to your good pleasure. Bless your people, I pray. Oh, may faith rise up in their heart. And may you give them joy in their journey. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said amen, amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord.